this thing goes. From the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, why, I am Jeremy Scott, and this is Into the Paranormal. Thank you for being with us tonight. It's so good to have you here. We're going to be talking about a touchy subject, certainly for many. Are interdimensional beings monitoring certain biological processes inside human bodies? It's a fascinating thought. It's actually one that I have long considered. Few have been qualified enough in which to speak about that. So I'm honored to have here tonight on the program, Pane Ondov. Pane is an Australian citizen born in Macedonia. And here's a little bit about his story. During a walk with his older brother, his life took an unusual turn after experiencing a close encounter of the fourth kind. They were mesmerized by the sight of an approaching alien flying craft, emanating strong yellow, orange, and red pulsating lights. After getting within a distance of less than 50 meters, the object released a very powerful flash of bright light. And in a few seconds, they both realized that somehow they had been teleported inside this, dare we call, alien craft, where these beings ran tests. And then when those tests came back satisfactory, they incited a procedure that increased his brain capacity and altered his DNA functionality. And both were missing for about 2 hours, him and his brother. After they were returned, when he started manifesting telepathic abilities and having spontaneous out-of-body experiences, and later he achieved his first self-induced OBE, over time his abilities have increased. And through these out-of-body experiences in which he's been able to stay out of his physical body for hours, fully conscious, it was then he realized that reality, the reality around us, was not what it seemed to be. And as soon as he managed to reach Earth's orbit with his astral body, it may sound like a far-fetched story, but stories of astral travel have been well documented over the years. He started seeing UFOs going in and out of the planet that were hovering or slowly moving inside thunderstorms. Others were simply disappearing into the oceans. And certainly we've heard reports of UFO encounters into oceans and other bodies of water, along with some flying directly into active volcanoes. I actually did an episode not too many months ago about that specific subject. But it was those hovering over houses and buildings in populated areas that caught his attention. Pane has come to the realization that occupants of UFOs are not just violating human privacy, but are also taking humans without any given consent and doing things to them that are difficult to explain without causing emotional trauma. That humanity being under constant surveillance and exploitation by a few extraterrestrial species then is not too far-fetched of a thing to ponder. He published the magazine The Sixth Sense and has written several books, including Alien Implants, Hacking the Alien Internet, which was published, you know, but pre-pandemic, timely as ever. Pane Ondov, welcome into the Paranormal.
Thank you, Jeremy. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's so good to have you here. So do you feel that through this experience, which I've outlined briefly, that these beings were somehow, I don't know, rewiring your brain?
Yes, that's correct. First of all, some of the beings that were around me, they literally scanned my DNA database, if you will. So they have a technological capabilities to literally scan the DNA storage, if you will. Something which concerns our existence, in the previous incarnations, they can go very, very far back, you know, from 50,000 years to even prior. And they were searching for certain experiences and certain qualities, if you will, in me, which they found. And they said that they're very, 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 very pleased that they have found me. And afterwards, they apply certain like a beam technology, which created an artificial object inside the right side of my hemisphere, if you will, which produced or created new neural pathways. And in other words, they hooked the alien implant with my brain, which resulted with far more better quality communication with them, which was previously like a voices in my head. And as soon as the object was placed, literally, I was able to hear them very loud and clear. So,
what kind of technology did you say, Pony?
It's a small nano technology, which is often discovered with people that have alien abductions, especially thanks to the Roger Lear research and extracting of those objects. We are actually seeing that it's real and it's happening, and those objects can be either biological or metallic or non-metallic. It all depends of the purpose and which species actually plays the objects there for which reason, so to speak.
They implanted you with this technology, but they also altered the DNA through the nanotech or through some other method?
Because what they explained is that our human brain at this stage is running on very low capacity. Its potential is enormous, but unfortunately, they were Asian civilizations in our past, more accurately in our forgotten past, that existed, and they had a far more better brain capacity, if you will, and functionality. But due to the Asian wars and conflicts, there was a genetic downgrade and genetic mutation, which actually placed us into the five senses input and the higher abilities of the consciousness disconnected. By higher abilities, I'm referring as telepathy, psychokinesis, materialization, levitation, and similar, forms of force, if you will. So when they place this alien implant, it activates certain areas of the brain that are rarely used by humans, if you will. And immediately I noticed that my sensitivity of the auric field increased a lot, which means every time when I was passing by certain, let's say, sharp objects without touching it for a meter or meter and a half, I was able to feel it. And I was also able to hear voices in my head, which were the thoughts of my mother, my brother, family, friends that were around at the time. But the most fascinating thing was that during the night, I was entering some form of vibratory state, which people refer to as a sleeping paralysis, where there was a high-pitched sound in my ears and I was not able to physically move. And it just lasted for a couple of seconds, and all of a sudden I felt like a very light, if you will, like gravity was off, and I was able to literally drift out of the body and levitate above the body, which was quite fascinating, if you will. And it scared me a couple of times at the beginning, but eventually I went through the ceiling, and literally I was jumping from one roof to another, from house to another house. And I learned in later years that people call that astral projection or the out-of-body experience. And what was quite amazing, that every time when I was out of the body, there was like a ball of light that was about 50 meters away from me, so to speak, really approaching any closer. It's like babysitting me, so to speak, And the entire episode, and that was when I was only seven, where it actually happened in 1998 in Skopje, in Macedonia, in Europe. And it lasted for a couple of weeks. And then, unfortunately, due to the incident with my mother got really, really upset and scared how I'm able to do all this stuff. And she started to threatened me, so to speak, that she will take me to hospital for a surgery or to somewhere, you know, just to see what the heck is going on with me. And I had to retract those forces. And nothing special happened for the next 7 years. But in my teenage years, I things started to roll again, if you will. I got in contact with, how should I put it, progressive meditation. I started training Qigong, Yoga Nidra, Kriya Yoga, and similar things. And eventually, I started also practicing astral projection. And then when I learned to the point that I was able to leave my body, that's again where the action really, really began. And my out-of-body experiences at the beginning, they were very short, probably 15, 20 seconds or a minute or two. And it's just that it felt like I was losing my concentration, and that pulled me back to the physical body. And then when I introduced the ESP training or cards, actually people maybe know better if I mentioned the Zener cards, which are used for testing of gifted children and adults for the extrasensory perception, if you will, you know, how to obtain information beyond the five senses. And when I start training with the ESP cards, I literally was pushing sometimes from 5 to 7 hours per day. And eventually it took to the point that those out-of-body experiences, because of that accumulated force, if you will, they started to extend, and more, it was just amazing what I was seeing out of the body. So practically when everyone was sleeping around me, you know, as soon as you fall asleep, you just black out, and that's about it. Sometimes you have certain experiences that we call dreams, or sometimes lucid dreaming or something similar, you know. In parallel, I was fully conscious, and like I'm conscious now. You go to sleep, you just close your eyes, the astral membrane activates, and then I'm starting to see certain visions, if you will, as soon as the geometrical tryptamine appears inside the pineal gland in a natural way. And then I was able to literally play with those visions that were coming. I was able to pull, you know, the astral or the mental screen closer to me, to the point of my observation, if you will, in the consciousness. And then as soon as I penetrated through the portal, I was literally astrally projecting from the other side. So, or eventually I was going into a deep meditative state, and there was like a buzzing sound in my ears. And as soon as I started to focus on this buzzing sound in my ears, over 5, 6, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, it started to increase rapidly, and eventually got very loud. And then it pushed me to the same sleeping paralysis phase, where I was able to literally depart the physical body and just step into the astral plane. The quite amazing thing was that at the beginning, as the contacts with extraterrestrials progressed, if you will, because I was always under surveillance, so to speak, from one side, from the shadow government, and they were tracking everything that I was doing, and from the other side, but extraterrestrials, if you will, I wanted to leave the planet and just to experience the astral travel in space. But unfortunately, every time when I was attempting to do that, about 40 kilometers in the altitude, every time I was hitting like an energetic invisible barrier, and it was just happening all over and over again. And eventually, I asked the extraterrestrials that were friendly and communicating with me, how can I penetrate this shield, if you will. And they said that it can't be done with the normal or the default astral vehicle that I'm using. And when I mentioned and asked, what do you mean, they said that the vehicle that I'm using is incompatible to pass the barrier, because this barrier was placed there 4,000 years ago during the last conflict, which was described in Mahabharata and Ramayana, where all those Vimanas, or how should I put it, Astras, they had a fight with the so-called gods, if you will, and that's where the genetic literally downgrade happened, from beings with elongated skulls and with the spikes growing, you know, from the top of their head, more arms, more legs, three eyes, half human, what we call half animal nowadays. All that genetic functionality from, let's say, quadruple or triple DNA just was downgraded to the double helix functionality. And they said in order to pass this barrier, you have to literally jump into another vehicle, which is far more powerful and can cross through easily. And they explained to me that next time when I actually enter the so-called vibrational state or the sleeping paralysis, instead of departing the physical body, despite the fact that I have that clear access to, if you will, not to depart yet, but instead of just to focus on something which is most divine in myself, and when the energy will increase, you know, that's when to depart, so to speak, and then that's where to try to pass that barrier. And exactly what they said, exactly what I did. The next time when I went into the sleeping paralysis phase, I was having a clear access to the astral dimension, but I didn't astrally project yet. I started to focus on cosmic love or something which I resonated profoundly, so to speak. But it has to be honest, if you will, you know. And as soon as I started to do that, I noticed that there is a huge amount of change which was happening. The light, which was usually like a bluish, darkish light when the sleeping paralysis state normally was occurring, was shifted. And now I was observing like a rainbow light coming from in and out. And the buzzing sound in the ears was literally killing me, if you will. You know, it was such increasement in loudness that I thought in one point that my ears will explode from the pressure. And I was experiencing something which the Asian yogis were describing as a samadhi or a bliss, if you will. And as soon as this energy level was increased, I literally depart the physical body. But since it was like 3 o'clock in the morning and pitch black inside my bedroom, the quite amazing thing was that the entire bedroom was illuminated, and I noticed that the auric field of this vehicle illuminates light. And that's why I called it the self-luminescent body, you know, which is far more profound and efficient than the default astral body, where most of the people experience the out-of-body travel and similar stuff. And what I did, I practically fly through the window of my balcony, jumped down to the park in front of the building where I was living at the time, Skopje in Macedonia in Europe, put my hands, my transparent hands into fist and took off, and I passed through that barrier. And the moment I entered the orbit, if you will, the adrenaline rush, so to speak, was so high that I was able to literally see the entire planet from above. And immediately there were like dozens of orbs of light that appeared from one side, and they were very happy with the progress. But on the other hand, I started to notice a materialization of dark disks and other similar, like a dark spheres, another shape of objects. And I picked up a telepathic communication between them. And the dark ones were not happy with the orbs of light. Supposedly, they have violated some kind of treaty. And in order to protect me at that point, the orbs of light actually cut the astral experience. I literally felt that I was falling down and like 10 centimeters above the physical body. I saw my physical body and just slightly reunited with my physical body, and I opened my eyes. I was just jumping from joy. You know, it was a first experience of a kind to visit the space with during the out-of-body phase, if you will, you know. But it started from there, Jeremy. I noticed that when I'm out of the body with the astral vehicle, if you will, I'm not able to detect the UFOs in that clarity, especially not all of them. And also with the default astral body, I was not able to see the orbs and how they play, what role they're playing in our sleeping time, and how they're actually shaping our so-called dreaming realities. But also I was not able to see the alien abductions and similar things. But when I was out of the body with a self-luminescent body, I was able to see all the UFOs which are actually hovering above the cities, you know, and the alien abductions, the orbs, and how the orbs collect certain energetic signatures or energetic discharges, if you will, during the sleeping time and dreaming phases and similar things. It's quite interesting. For example, it was very, very awkward for me because the moment I noticed that that some of the objects are hiding, it became crystal clear that something is not right, you know, because in our full understanding, if they want to show themselves, the shadow government can stop them, if you will. They will just land above New York, about London, about you know, Paris and other cities, if you will, in hundreds and thousands. But they don't want to do that because there is deception which is practically going on. I'm not saying that all the extraterrestrials are negative, far from that, you know, but majority are abusive towards the humankind, and in the same fashion as the humankind is abusing the animal kind, if you will, by, you know, certain things which I don't want to go in this direction now. Certain extraterrestrial species which are here for a very, very long time, they're abusing the human species, if you will. And it's quite interesting. For example, when you start shooting on a normal light outside, you don't see much of a UFO activity. But if you in parallel install infrared cameras or night vision cameras, from time to time you start to see objects in groups and then parallel, so to speak, that are coming, doing incredible maneuvers, you know, and just amazing. So in the same way as I was able to observe them with a self-luminescent body, I started to notice that most of the manipulation, if you will, is going through those alien abductions, where they're actually producing a hybridization. So many female subjects that are, how should I put it, experiencing miscarriages, the fetus disappears before the week 20, if you will. You know, previously it was there, visible on the ultrasound, but before the week 20, sometimes it disappears. And I was researching how often this happens and where, and it turned out that it's just so high number of it, you know, which people don't have knowledge of or understanding about it. But another thing was that they also use the so-called alien implants to monitor certain biological processes in our human bodies, if you will. They can literally see our sensory information and everything else, you know. So practically the alien implants are sophisticated nanotechnological devices which are giving off a magnetic field and emitting radio signals before they're removed, and many of them contain carbon nanotubes. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that we are dealing with nanotechnological devices with nanocarbon tubes, either single or double wall, that are often elongated and weaved into carbon nanofibers, if that makes any sense, you know, carbon nanostrains, and they end in crystalline structures that are called orthorhombic, which are regular rectangular structures. And it's quite amazing what is happening. And as mentioned previously, I found out that the alien implants can be metallic, non-metallic, or biological. If they're biological, sometimes they can move under the skin, you know. But if they're metallic, they usually contain the so-called meteoric dust or the meteoric iron, and they stay usually put, if you will. And for the detection, for example, if there is a alien abduction scenario which is going on, you know, very often with the abductee can be exposed to the ultraviolet light, if you will, and that exposure will eventually reveal if there are any markings or touchings on the skin, because this dye that stays with the abductee sometimes stays over a month, if you will, you know. But if there is a metal alien implant, if you will, sometimes people use stud finder and a Gauss meter to detect eventual magnetic field. So if the alien implant practically broadcast information to somewhere out there, or it's receiving information. It creates a smaller or bigger magnetic field, if you will. But usually when it's put in, it doesn't interact or receives any intercom, so to speak. This magnetic field is not detectable. So to the research about the molecular structure and their nanotechnological makeup, electron microscopy is used, and also the Raman spectrometry and infrared spectrometry technique. And they're usually showing us a lot of stuff that there. We are dealing with very sophisticated nanotechnological devices. And it is a shame that the governments nowadays are controlled by the secret societies, which have absolutely no intention to disclose their full understanding and knowledge, if you will. You know, so the modern humans, they become more aware of that we are not alone during the World War One and World War Two, especially during the World War Two, if you will. So they call them the so-called Foo Fighters, since the observed objects and lights were moving at unprecedented speeds, and that they had extraordinary maneuver capabilities. You know, they were far superior in every possible way, and they were observed in all kinds of shapes and form, from cigar shaped UFOs to balls of light, triangles, etc., etc. And the military was quite scared about what is happening once when they realized that they don't actually control the sky, neither the oceans, if you will, because the underwater submerged objects were also detected, if you will. And a so-called shadow government, in my understanding, was formed at those days to study and investigate the sightings and the close encounters. And the academia and the media were used to cover up the entire UFO subject. So it turned out that some of the UFOs are vulnerable to radar beams, since the particles were interacting with their highly sophisticated nanotechnological fiber optics guidance systems. In other words, the flying information was sent through light particles, if you will, and when the directed radar particles were messing with alien guidance systems, the UFOs were practically crushing. And a part of it, the Tesla death ray, if you will, was involved, which the shadow government developed on his drawings, which was using the plasma beam just to shut the UFO down. And if they were successful, there was a UFO crash, and then a special shadow government team was sent to destination of the crash site. And if the wreckage was not fully destroyed during the impact, if you will, partly or entirely, it was transported in secured areas or bases and facilities, mostly underground, for research and back engineering. So the real drama, going back during the years, actually began when, on several occasions, they discovered dead or alive alien bodies, and sometimes remains of human bodies, or eventually animal parts, which the extraterrestrials were taking from the so-called cattle mutilations, if you will. So various projects were established to study and recover this alien technology in absolute secrecy. At the beginning, it was kind of like a race who will acquire more useful alien technology, CIA or ex-KGB, if you will, you know. But after a few decades, it became crystal clear in my understanding that we are dealing with widespread phenomena, and that to cover this properly and to keep this a complete secret in front of the eyes of the deceived human population, it will require international effort. And the shadow government expanded worldwide. Today, US, Russia, and China, in my understanding, are the three dominant countries that are involved into the black or super secret UFO alien programs. So the recovered technology at the beginning was too sophisticated for the scientific minds of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and partly even 1980s. But I think that somewhere from 1990s onwards, there was a tremendous progress that was accomplished, and much of the recovered alien technology was operated by the alien artificial intelligence, among many other. It contained nanotechnologies, laser beam scanning technologies, plasma energy technologies, etc., etc. So a lot of the recovered alien technologies are back engineers today, and some end up in our commercial market. So despite the fact that we do not want to acknowledge this, but the current state of things are kind of a product of alien recovered or back engineered technology, right? So the secret projects that were involved study of alien biology revealed very advanced nanotechnological devices that were extremely small and very, very tiny. And some of them were doing a number of highly complex processes, which indicate that the aliens have a very sophisticated knowledge and understanding of the nanotechnology. And what is also remarkable, Jeremy, is that our understanding of the science of biology, it was still not fully understood in the 90s and 80s. And till recently, you know, we understood that the biology itself, it's a self-assembling nanotechnology, and the extraterrestrials are real masters in understanding this nanotechnology inside the human biology. So to make even things more bizarre, if you will, some classified reports came with entire military squads gone missing for a few hours, and when they were returned, they were all implanted with alien implants for tracking, surveillance, and mind control, etc. And in time, the shadow government managed to establish direct contact with several extraterrestrial species, Grays being one of them, and as far as I understand, I was informed a kind of collaboration began, and it's still ongoing today. And there are several bases with combined human extraterrestrial personnel, if you will, deep underground, working on various genetic programs, exchange of technologies for human slavery and similar things. So it is actually unknown how many of those globalists nowadays that are imposing these so-called lockdowns are actually humans or eventually implanted with alien nanotechnological devices, you know, for control and surveillance, because this rabbit hole that we are dealing, that we call reality, it's very deep, if you will. It's a million-dollar question, if you will, you know. So what if the artificial intelligence that these top secret facilities are building is not designed by humans at all? And perhaps the time will tell, you know, but this is what is known in my understanding. A lot of controlling technologies that has been fed through the Silicon Valley are coming from the United States military, and it's about ultimate control in my understanding, and it's about implementing a next phase of control over the human population. And it's about practically controlling our human capabilities, if you will, and there is a direct effort to suppress the spiritual capabilities of the human consciousness, and that's for a good reason. And for centuries, the powers that be through the secret societies, Freemasonry, and other, you know, streams, if you will, of secrecy, which operated, as mentioned, in total secrecy, keeping the precious information away from the people. They didn't want the general population to access, in my understanding, the deep reservoir of capabilities that we naturally have, you know, and through the Silicon Valley now, that suppression is becoming even greater. So, for example, if you have a brain implant, something which Elon Musk and people like him work on the Neuralink, once the smart nano dust inside the implant is linked with your neural cortex, if you will, and with the cloud in the same time through the 5G network tomorrow, 6G, 7G, whatever is going to occur, the artificial intelligence can easily monitor and control your brain activity, so it can keep you in a very narrow frequency range, if you will. And if you start to wander outside that controlling frequency, they will have a real problem with it, you know. So it's practically a control matrix, and they are trying to duplicate something which the extraterrestrials are actually doing for thousands of years. So the real question is how the aliens are controlling us, right? So it is a very complex matter, and to elaborate how the extraterrestrials are practically controlling us in full scale, but it's all connected with the alien implants put inside the human bodies during the what we call alien abductions, right? So the abductees usually experience white flashes, missing time, and when they wake up, they realize that they have strange marks on the body, bioluminescence, etc. So the research have shown that many nanotechnological avian implants are not broadcasting in this electromagnetic spectrum at all, but they're using the so-called color waves technology. So when we use our technological devices and picking up a radio wave, Jeremy, we are practically, in my understanding, actually reading a harmonic. And the alien implants, as mentioned, can be metallic, non-metallic, or biological, depends, you know, which species is actually doing the implantation and for what purposes, right? So as mentioned, for those actually who are unfamiliar, the spectroscopy is the study of the interaction between the matter and electromagnetic radiation, and as a function of the wavelength or frequency of the radiation. And the Raman spectroscopy, which is also used heavily, you know, by the people who are studying this. For example, Dr. Roger Lear and Steve Colvin, who is a material scientist who worked with him for 6 years, and have actually spoken with him several times, and I strongly recommend his understanding, knowledge, and experience, especially for the abductees who are seeking confirmation, do they have alien implants or not, you know, what where it is, and so on and so forth. He's the one that he can also provide help. And this Raman spectroscopy provides vibrational fingerprints of the chemical compounds, enabling their identification, if you will, and to be a comparison with reference spectrum, right? So it's quite amazing what is happening, because the alien implants are practically sophisticated nanotechnological devices and giving off a magnetic field, you know. And this magnetic field, as mentioned, once when it's active, can literally be measured, right? So usually the alien implant is placed in a tissue capsule, which is removed once when the object is extracted. And this tissue capsule has a multi-purpose, in my understanding. And one is to serve as an interface between the nervous system and the brain and the alien implant, if you will, so the organism will not recognize the foraging object and cause infection. So many of the alien implants contains carbon nanotubes, and it's quite amazing how they operate. So in many frequencies you know, were detected from the objects. For example, some of the implants broadcast on those frequencies from 8 hertz, 14.7 megahertz, 17 megahertz, 110 megahertz, 137.7 megahertz, and so on and so forth. But there are also some which are actually transmitting on 1.2 gigahertz or 560.8 gigahertz. You know, so it's quite interesting what is happening. And was the evidence one of the best abductees that served as evidence in this direction was the lady by the name Giovanna Pola. She is from Italy, and she practically came forward, as far as I remember, in 2010 with one of the most bizarre alien abduction testimonies ever. So the evidence that she put forward built a strong case and attracted a huge international interest. So till the present day, her abduction case remains a mystery, and no debunking attempt was ever successful, simply because the evidence was overwhelming. And according to Giovanna, she had first alien abduction experience when she was only 4 years old. Then it is when she got the first implant from the extraterrestrials, and it was the first but not the last implant that she got. And even when she went to Japan in the later years, they were able to take those alien implants inside the brain and measure the frequencies that they are emitting, you know. So for the things to get even more bizarre, Giovanna claimed that during her entire life, a group of extraterrestrials performed artificial insemination, if you will, or in other words, she got impregnated 18 times, and each time deliberately aborted the alien hybrid fetus that resulted. And in 2010, after examination of doctors and confirmed anomalous fetus by them, you know, she arranged the abortion that was recorded on cameras from beginning to finish, and it was actually broadcast on private television, and the abortion had complications. It took a while, but once it was over, what came out of Joanna's womb literally scared everyone, because the baby was not a human baby at all, but a hybrid between a human and some alien race. So long story short about her, there was abundance of physical evidence to back up what she was claiming that she is experiencing. Right? So the phosphorescence that emanated from her body and the marks were a huge interest to the doctors and the researchers, you know. And when the substance was analyzed in one of the laboratories in the Institute of Bologna in Italy, it turned out that it's not natural and it's highly magnetic, in fact. And it was kind of like a silic substance with a mica base, if you know what I mean. And it didn't contain any nitrate or phosphor that could give its phosphorescence in a natural way, like we are seeing all around us. But it was found that the electrons of the substance are excited, like their structure was artificially modified to give a big magnetic field, which is quite fascinating, right? And the disturbing part is that there are around 11 million miscarriages worldwide on average every year. Most of the cases of miscarriages, as mentioned, before the 20th week. You know, in other words, the ultrasound shows a fetus in a gestational sac, but at some stage before the end of the week 20 of pregnancy, it mysteriously disappears. So, and also some abductees report a painful process consisting of entry of a thin instrument, a sort of fiber optic wire, but only a little more rigid, if you will, right? So through these sphenoidal canals, the nose, you know, with a very delicate practice, they reach the pituitary gland by building a small but highly technological sophisticated object and in different stages that will be incorporated into the hundreds of nerves endings, if you will, that are connected to the whole body and the brain itself. And what is even interesting is that surgically, it is very difficult to remove these objects, you know, from the brain due to a potential danger of causing paralysis, loss of vision, hearing, other irreversible damage in the person who is actually wearing it, you know. So the further research have shown that the genuine alien abductees have traces of contact on their skin that, as mentioned, will not wash out for at least a month, and dye visible under the ultraviolet light exposure can be either yellow, green, or orange, which is quite interesting, you know, sometimes even blue, a color that has a different meaning to the abductors, if you will. So the visible marks on the ultraviolet it can be non-human fingerprints, strange symbols or lines, you know. So they're different experiences. So I'm talking about non-magnetic marks, which are photographed under the ultraviolet light for those who are not familiar, you know. So what is even more interesting is that in 1972, a close examination showed that the five bizarre cattle mutilations were marked with powdery white substance and glowing when they were exposed to ultraviolet light. So the lab test from control sample of removed hair from the glowing region show high percentage of potassium and magnesium. In other words, they were marking the cattle mutilation before they were taken, and the parts that were taken out of their bodies, they were taken with such a precision that the laser that they were using was not cutting to damage the cell, but literally it cut on the very border of the cell, you know, which is technological and medical knowledge beyond our own, even nowadays, so to speak. So, as mentioned, Dr. Roger Lear was a world expert in the field of alien implants removal, and during the citizen hearing on disclosure, which held in late April and early May in 2013, the National Press Club in Washington, he gave impressive testimony on the subject. He said that there is no inflammatory response of rejection of these objects, and the objects that were taken out from people that have absolutely no idea how they got them in the first place are obviously very advanced nanotechnological devices, right? So during the last few years of Dr. Rogers Lear's life, you know, he was a team leader of a capable group of doctors that were interested in the removal and study of these foraging objects discovered into the human bodies that thanks to the x-rays and scans and MRI magnetic resonance imaging were discovered in the human brain and everywhere around the body, right? So the team was in possession of $90,000 equipment, which according to Dr. Lear, you know, was able to scan and detect if a person has some kind of implant in the body, you know. So it's quite amazing about what he actually provided to the world. And another interesting evidence that that is important to mention is the evidence about the retired USF staff sergeant Dan Sherman, who actually had a total 12 years of service with the US Air Force, and out of which the last 3 years was actually National Security Agency or NSA. And in parallel to his normal duty as electronic intelligence analyst, you know, in the US Air Force, he was also working for the NSA as an intuitive communicator, you know, for 3 years between 1992 and 1995, as far as I recall. And he actually was explaining that he was about the term so-called intuitive communicator, which actually stands for the ability to communicate with extraterrestrials through the intuitive manipulation of consciousness. So his NSA role was part of the special program, which was called Project Preserve Destiny, or which shortly stands for PPD. And he actually learned that the Project Preserve Destiny began in 1960 sometimes, and it was fully operational by 1963. And this was a project, and still is, so genetically manipulating human offspring so they would have the ability to communicate with this alien species that the shadow government is in contact with, you know. So his first abduction communication included a latitude and longitude coordinates of very actually the alien abduction took place. So in comparison to the previous PPD bases that he was explaining, he was working, the last one that he worked was, there was like a map that he was able to literally detect where the alien abductions are taking place. So when he checked up, he turned out that the abduction scenario, you know, which actually freaked him out, took place in Florida somewhere. And, for example, there are a couple of numbers that he was explaining, which I fully, you know, documented that, and into my book, Alien Implants, and my other books, which are available on Amazon. Also, and also I would definitely recommend the book, The Above Black, by Dan Sherman, who actually literally explains all about his experience with the NSA, you know, and his communications with extraterrestrials. And after starting and receiving terrifying communications about alien abductions, Sherman was shocked and started to really question everything he believed in before, so to speak. You know, he felt betrayed. In fact, he felt that the U.S. citizens are practically, how should I put it, betrayed by the government, right? And it's quite amazing what is happening. And maybe another interesting thing to mention about the alien implants that recently came as evidence is the patient 17, you know, the documentary or the short film, if you will, that was directed by Jeremy Keenan, right? And we are talking about an ordinary person who literally was...
Yeah, Jeremy Corbell's documentary.
Exactly, yeah. And this object was removed on cameras and then further studied by Steve Colburn, the material scientist, as mentioned, right? And by using a scanning electron microscopy, they literally found very sophisticated nanotechnology, which is in tune with the nervous system, you know. And as mentioned, through this capsule that I was describing before, which serves as an interface between the alien implant and organism, if you will, and prevention of the eventual infection. And it's quite amazing what is happening. And the isotropic analysis actually proved that the material embedded in of the extracted implant from the patient 17, as it was referred, was made out of the planet. And the ultimate goal of that particular research was how to hack the alien internet, if you will. So they had the reasons to believe that there is a complex web of communication between the aliens and some supercomputer which exists on the artificial alien space station that we call our moon, which is a different interesting topic to discuss. You know, so through the alien implants, the genuine abductees are practically plugged into the system, right? And it's the biggest story of the 20th and 21st of century. But long story short, the result showed that the objects were composed from 36 different elements. So we're talking about nanotechnological device which was hooked into the nervous system of this gentleman, made of metallic iron with a combination of many precisely chosen and implemented elements to serve to a specific reason, so to speak. And the elements like boron, sodium, magnesium, titanium, gallium, germanium, you know, and but it was the isotropic ratios which actually brought that entire, you know, panic, if you will, you know, so to speak, you know. So the isotropic ratio of zinc 64 and zinc 66 would indicate that these elements are not made from material around the earth at all. And they also ask a second opinion, and they refer to how should I put it, the nanotech scientist Christopher Cooper, and who has a huge experience, and expertise in the nuclear physics, in quantum computation, nanotechnology, and large-scale nanomanufacturing. And when he actually analyzed the object, he was stunned, you know, because the objects had elemental analysis of a complexity that he had never seen before. And what he was saying, that what we are actually dealing with here is something that is highly advanced and fabricated, is not natural at all. And comparing with the zinc radium ratio found on our planet and our solar system, the zinc found in these objects indicates that it originates from some other part of our galaxy or beyond. It's difficult just to determine for sure, you know. So what is practically saying is that we are dealing with super advanced alien nanotechnological device composed from 36 different elements, Jeremy, which are hooked into the nervous system, you know, and it's quite amazing what is happening. And probably the best thing to say is that we're usually using, let's say, drones for a surveillance. You know, if you want to, let's say, surveillance certain area, we send a drone, and through Internet of Things and so on and so forth, you know, we can practically see that stuff. But they're using plasma technology instead of our technological achievements nowadays. And so the extraterrestrials are far more ahead of us. And by using plasmoids, they can communicate, you know, with these alien implants inside our bodies. In other words, they can upload data through the program plasma. They can download data. They can influence our behavior. And in many, many other ways, they can practically do a lot of things. So practically through the alien implants, they can access the sensory information of the abductee and observe everything that person can see, hear, smell, taste, touches, and so on and so forth. So can read the heart pulse, if you will, the blood pressure, practically all the biological processes inside the physical body, can alter the DNA if needed, read the thoughts and sense the emotions, remotely control the awakened and the sleeping state of the abductee, and you name it. You know, it's just something that we are just starting to understand how it works and how it operates, right? So it's not easy reality to face, unfortunately, but it is what it is. You know, we have to literally acknowledge that we are not alone, and in order to understand what is going on, you know, it's literally we have to go back in time, so to speak, you know, and just to to see what was going on thousands of years. And obviously, we are not the first civilization on planet Earth, and neither the most advanced one. And those ancient humanoids, if you will, they also interacted with extraterrestrials. And after those wars, we practically become an easy target. And with our five senses input and the higher abilities of the consciousness, as mentioned, disconnected, we are practically species with amnesia. We don't understand what took place on this planet or this solar system thousands of years ago, and how things got in this stage that we are seeing UFOs that are flying in and out of our perimeter, so to speak, with such a precision, with such a, how should I put it, extravagance, if you will, and advanced maneuver capabilities. And they can move from one dimension to another dimension, and they can use the plasma appearance, if you will, or the plasmoids to control us in so many ways, like the same way like people are controlling the animals, if you will, in farms. Planet Earth, unfortunately, has become like a form of farm that it's happening, you know. And pretty much that's about it, Jeremy, you know, that I can sum it up.
You know. Yeah, an amazing job of doing so tonight, and I so appreciate you coming on the program. You've really kind of planted the seed for a follow-up, and so I look forward to having you back. Tell the audience about the titles of your books and where they can find you.
Thank you so much. It was a real pleasure. People can find more about work on my website, puretranquilitypublishing.com, or eventually they can find me on Facebook, or if they're after my books, they can find them all on Amazon. There are 9 books that are available on Amazon, from The Awakening, The Life Force Energy, which deals with the progressive program, how a person can train into remote viewing, astral traveling, and similar things. Then The Awakening Key to Extraterrestrial Messages, where I have explained the genuine crop circle phenomena with parallel with the ones that people are making, how they're connected with the balls of light, what the messages practically mean, and so on and so forth, where I have decoded over 300 crop designs in understandable form, which doesn't exist anywhere else around the world. The alien implants, as I already mentioned, deals with the top scientific research around the world. And also the Saturn, the secrets of the extraterrestrial engineers, is you know, dealing with the UFO objects that were detected around the Saturn system. So some of those objects are massive. We are talking about 50,000 kilometers by 4 kilometers, cigar-shaped objects which are cruising around the solar system. So Dr. Norman Bergman actually wrote a book, The Ringmakers of Saturn, and where he actually took off, I took further, so to speak, you know, where he left off, I took further, you know, and explained the dynamics and how all this system works. So, and there are many other books which actually explain about the astral traveling, the other realities, the interdimensional beings, and how it's all interconnected. So I really recommend it to the people that are, you know, awakening and doing the research in this direction.
I appreciate you coming on the program, Pane, and best to you.
Pleasure. All the best to you, Jeremy. Take care.
And everybody, make sure you go to the website, paranormalradio.com. And we really appreciate you being with us. And until next time, from the cold, dark depths of a secret dungeon somewhere deep in the remote Pacific Northwest, I'm Jeremy Scott. Good night, everyone.